Welcome back to our Theology Matters series. Today we are in part 5 of our series. It's the last episode before we take our break for this summer. And in today's episode, I took time to speak with Shanda Fulbright and answer the question, should you know how to defend your faith as a Christian woman? This episode is all about apologetics, the importance of knowing what you believe and why you actually do need to be able to defend your faith, especially in today's culture. So let me tell you about Shanda. Shanda Fulbright is a wife, mom to 3 boys, and the host of the Her Faith Inspires podcast, where she talks cultural issues and tackles them with biblical truth. She's the co-author of Let's Get Real, Examining the Evidence for God with Dr. Frank Turek, as well as Train Your Brain, An Introduction to Logic and Baseline Apologetics. She's the author and creator of Baseline Apologetics, a curriculum for adults who want to learn apologetics and the Bible. And she teaches students of all ages the basics of Christian apologetics and stresses the importance of biblical literacy as a path to a biblical worldview. Now, today's conversation is one that I think every woman who calls herself a Christian needs to listen to, even and especially if you're a woman who has absolutely no intention of engaging in debates or confrontational conversations. In today's conversation, we offer a very down-to-earth introduction to Christian apologetics and illustrate how to live this branch of theology out in your everyday life. So, without further ado, I am excited to share this conversation. I pray it blesses you, and I hope that you are ready to learn a whole lot. Let's do it.
Listening to Her Renewed Strength, the podcast, a place where you, my sisters in Christ, are encouraged to walk by faith and equipped to live well, steward well, and set your minds on eternity. I'm your host, Erica Diaz Castro, your Jesus-loving Puerto Rican life coach. If you're tired of living a life burdened by anxiety, burnout, or overwhelm, if you're ready to do more of what you love, create more space for the things and people that matter most, and better steward the gifts and resources God graced you with, if you want coaching, encouragement, fellowship, and just a friend to help you shift your perspective from the temporal to the eternal, you're in the right place. Grab a coffee, journal, and a pen. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to the party, and let's dig into today's episode.
All right, y'all, we are back in our Theology Matters series, and today I have a special guest with me. We have Shanda Fulbright on the podcast, and her name is pronounced Shanda like panda. So thank you, Shanda, for coming onto the show today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I'm excited to talk to you.
Me too. Tell us about you. How did you come to the faith? And today we're talking about apologetics. So how did you get into apologetics?
Well, I wasn't introduced to it at my church. I was raised in church. So I always, when I explain how I came to the faith, I never had that one day where I like realized I was a sinner and gave my heart to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I don't want people to feel bad about that, because I used to feel bad about that. And I used to think, oh my gosh, I don't have this great moment to tell everybody about. But I do have a day where I was quite old, if you think about somebody raised in church and not realizing that they're not saved, you know. I have this memory at 17 where I'm walking through the halls of my high school campus, and you know, I'm praying this random prayer like I usually do every day, because God was everywhere as I grew up. He was in the, you know, we said the blessing, we prayed before church, and one day I'm just praying again this random prayer, thinking everything's fine, and I end it by saying, I love you, God, amen. And as soon as I said amen, like the question came back to my mind of, do you really love me, or are you just saying that because you're taught to say it? And it was the first sobering moment I've ever had where I questioned what I believe. And I said, I always think about those movies where everything pauses except for the main character, like everything's frozen in time.
Yeah.
And the main character is very aware of what's happening. That's kind of how it was. Like when I think back, it feels like it, took so long for me to even contemplate how I would answer that question. Mm. But I decided to be honest with God. And I said, I don't love you because I don't know you. And it really scared me, because when you grow up in the church, you know what that means. You know that there are eternal consequences to not having a relationship with God. That's and right. So that was like the first day where it wasn't like this altar, going down to the altar moment and giving my heart to the Lord. It was just that me and God in a place where I never would have expected him to meet me, at school, where mom wasn't there, who was very diligent to take me to church, no youth pastors, no pastor of a church I could ask questions to. And God knew I didn't need that, but it was a very raw question. And I gave a very raw answer. Mm-hmm. And from that moment forward, I began to walk with the Lord on my own. And I started to, I made the decision independently to follow the Lord, not just because I was raised that way, but I still had a lot of maturing and growing up to do. And I ended up, you know, reading my Bible and becoming a youth leader at the age I probably should not have, and just really got into ministry. And I wanted to do everything for Jesus. Yeah, I look back, I'm like, oh Lord, God, help those teenagers that were once, you know, being led by me, because I'm like, I did not know what I was. I did the best that I could, but I would really like dig into the Word of God to come up with lessons for them. And mm-hmm. so the Lord was just faithful. He was very gracious with me. And I always think about the patience that God had with me. It was a good lesson for me now, being patient with others who are maturing in the Lord. But anyways, I never hear about apologetics. I never talk about the why. I was raised in a charismatic upbringing. Now, I'm not talking about Bethel, where everybody's swinging from chandeliers and it's crazy.
Right. Yeah.
But I am in a charismatic environment where there's more emphasis placed on the emotional aspect of your relationship with God rather than loving God with your mind. Mm. And so there's a lot of heart talk in my upbringing. There's a lot of, you know, giving your heart to God, loving God with all of your heart. And I never learned the thinking part, the discipleship part, the learning part. Mm-hmm. And so fast forward to 2020, which I feel like is very late to get into apologetics with what I'm doing now. I start to realize like our churches are shut down in California, because that's where I was at. And we weren't like nobody except for like people who are making headlines, like John MacArthur keeping his church open and saying, hey, I'll defy the law, go to jail, you know, for this, whatever I need to do. He's making headlines because so very few pastors were actually saying, no, we're going to keep our church doors open. Mm-hmm. That caused me and my husband to go searching beyond our church walls for people who were speaking the truth, for people who would not compromise. And I found people like Vody Bakum and started to really dig into him. Well, he does expository apologetics.
Yes, he does.
He's really legit. He was like,
absolutely love his ministry. He's such a blessing.
Isn't he? Isn't he? He's great. And it was so helpful for me. And I'm like, but it raised a lot of questions. Like, why aren't we doing this? And he's not even a charismatic. He's from a Baptist, I think a Southern Baptist upbringing. So this denominational difference too was like striking to me. And not that that's a huge, I don't want to place a huge emphasis on denominational, you know, barriers or anything like that. He's still a Bible believing man, you know, who incorporated apologetics. And then my husband found Frank Turek and he starts listening to Dr. Frank Turek, and Frank would give the why behind Christianity, but use science and philosophy, and he wouldn't bring the Bible into it right away. And it would annoy me. And I would tell my husband like, yeah, but how is he going to lead anybody to the Lord outside of the Bible? And my husband's like, no, it's a strategy for defending your faith when people don't share that common authority. And I was like, it took me probably like a month or two before I was even opening to listening to Frank. And because like I said, I was almost offended by it. Like, how dare him not use the Bible? Mm-hmm. And so I kept listening to Vody. And then eventually Frank said something that grabbed my attention. And he said, Christians neglect loving God with their mind. And it was like this missing piece of the puzzle just was inserted into this concept that I could not understand. And all of a sudden it clicked for me. And I was like, that's what I'm missing. I've been emphasizing this heart talk and emotionalism, whereas I've really neglected the discipleship, the digging into theology and apologetics mm-hmm. and learning to defend my faith, not because God needs to be defended, but because I need to know the reasons behind the what of Christianity. So that's how it all came together. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I just took off and I dove, you know, head first into these studies, and I didn't look back. And now I'm doing what I'm doing now.
I love it. I'm going to ask you what you're doing now. But before I do, I just want to share that I also, I didn't know that it was called apologetics at the time, but it was 2020 that brought about this need for me to know more than just like, not that the Bible wasn't enough, but I was having conversations with people who didn't believe that the Bible was true at all. And I was even told by some people, a friend of mine, who she's like, you're the only person I know who believes the Bible to be true. And so all of our conversations was just like this circular motion going and going of not ever getting anywhere. And I was always on the defense because she was constantly, and she had like a lawyer mentality. She just was trying to like catch me, you know? And I just kept going back to the authority of the word. And finally it clicked for me, like, this is not going to work because she doesn't play. There's no authority for her in the word of God. And it started to occur to me, like, perhaps I have to think about this differently. I didn't know it was called apologetics until the year after. And it was someone recommended Elisa Childers' book, Another Gospel. And that's when I like learned the phrase apologetics. And then of course, once you get introduced to anyone in that circle, you just like, it explodes for you, you know? Right. So with that said, when you dive into Dr. Frank Turek's stuff, shout out to Dr. Frank Turek, he is connected to Elisa and, you know, a lot of really great apologists in today's time. What are you doing now, and how did this, you know, time frame lead to what you're doing now, and what do you see God doing through this?
Well, Frank Turek, he said, how do you understand this so quickly, apologetics? Because I got my certificate in apologetics in 2021. No, yes, 2021. So again, this was summer of 2020, all the crazy of COVID's happening. That fall, I end up taking a class from Online Christian Courses on just the book of Romans and learning how to properly interpret scripture. And so I thought, okay, first I'm going to go back to scripture. It's the foundation to everything for a Christian. So you got to lay that foundation before you can learn apologetics.
That's right.
And so I went back to that and I was like, now what's the next thing I'm going to do? I took Cold Case Christianity with J. Warner Wallace Online Christian Courses, mm-hmm. because again, you're not going to find the things that, especially that, you know, an apologetics teacher teaches, like Frank, like Elisa, like Jim, you're not going to find that outside of one, a university or something like Online Christian Courses that offers these classes for the lay person, for the everyday yeah. person who says, you know what, maybe I don't want to go get a degree. Mm-hmm. I'm done. I got my teaching credential, my bachelor's degree in deaf education, and I ended up getting a certificate in apologetics. I have no plans to go back to a university level. But with all the books out there, you can learn, right? Oh, yeah. And so I was like, I'm going to take this class. And I took the live classes with them so I can get taught by them, take the Zooms and stuff. And then I thought, well, this isn't enough. I'm going to go to cross-examine CIA, which is it's an instructor's academy where they teach you how to present and speak this, like share it, apologetics mm-hmm. in some way. And my audience is more the church. If you're like a Shanda who grew up in church but didn't have the reasons behind the faith, like why can the Bible be trusted? Why can we believe that Jesus performed miracles? Why do we say that the resurrection has evidence for Christ? You know, we're celebrating that this Sunday, and we go every year to Easter, and it's like the busiest time of the year for churches. But do we know why we can trust that the resurrection actually occurred? Mm-hmm. And so I thought, you know what, people like the Shandas growing up in the church who didn't know, I need to provide for them. So then I went to the Cross-Examine Instructors Academy, a job opened up at Online Christian Courses. I applied for it. I got it. And then they said, hey, you're a teacher. Do you want to take Frank's I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist book and write curriculum for that at a middle school level? And I said, yeah, let's do it. And so I wrote that. And then last year we wrote Train Your Brain, an Introduction to Logic. And now we're getting ready to write a worldview curriculum. So it just compounded, and it just, you know, builds upon these different things that I do, and it opens up other doors. And so it happened because, for one, God opens the doors of opportunity, right, mm-hmm. that come our way. And I think you have to be prepared for it. And if you're a student of the word and you're constantly striving for, this is the goal, this is the need, and I want to fill that, then God's going to put those opportunities in front of you. And so I'm thankful. But I had my podcast way before apologetics. I had my podcast in 2019. Mm-hmm. And I was still like, you know, for me, it's, I've always been about the word of God, and I've always been about the importance of knowing the word of God. So that's why I say apologetics was a missing piece, because I already had a great foundation being raised in church and already studying the Bible and valuing the word of God with such high value that I did, and not neglecting to read it myself. Then I had that foundation in order for apologetics to come quickly, I feel like. And so that's the, I guess, my best way to explain how I got to this opportunity of writing with Frank and everything so quickly. Mm-hmm. It's just the foundation of the word. If you have the foundation of the word, I feel like you're prepared for a lot of things, you know?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So let's talk about Christian apologetics. What is apologetics, and why does it matter to everybody, even if they don't know that it matters?
Yeah. Christian apologetics is a branch of theology. And so it doesn't mean to apologize. A lot of people will say, I thought it meant to apologize. What are we apologizing for? Nothing. Doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that. It actually comes from a Greek word, apologia. Some people pronounce it a little bit differently. I don't know how to speak Greek, so the best I can do is apologia, which means to defend in, you know, in English. And we see that in 1 Peter 3:15, where he says to be prepared to give an answer for the hope that is in you. We also see Peter doing this in like Acts 17 when he, you know, was in Athens. And so anyways, we see where, you know, I've always told people, if you've ever told somebody, this is why you should believe in God, then you're doing apologetics. Now, mm-hmm. are you doing it effectively? I don't know. So that's what we have to, like you were saying, I was trying to defend the Bible, but I wasn't doing it effectively, not knowing that our starting point was not the same. We were coming at it from two different angles. So you're still defending, you're still doing apologetics. The question is, are you doing it effectively? If you've ever given your testimony and said, this is my testimony of why I believe in God, I'm going to leave it in your lap to make that decision for yourself. You're defending the faith. Are you doing it effectively? So apologetics is just learning the why behind the what. And everybody, no matter if you're a Buddhist, a Marxist, a New Ager, I don't care what you are, everyone will tell you what they believe. Yeah. When you get down to the nitty gritty of why you believe it, people begin to fall apart. And right. Your why is more convincing than your what. I don't care what you believe as much as I care for the evidence behind it to know if I should believe it too. Mm-hmm. And that's where Christian apologetics comes in. And Christian apologetics uses things like science. Mm-hmm. We use philosophy. That can freak people out, like, philosophy, what are you talking about? Well, we're talking about what is true. You have to be able to define the truth in order mm-hmm. to get to, is this belief true? And so that's what we're talking about with apologetics. And, you know, there could be Islamic apologetics. There's, you know, apologetics for other belief systems, other worldviews, and some of them do it very well, but there has to be apologists for Christianity, and every Christian should be an apologist, because it's not enough for you to know what you believe without knowing why. If you don't know why, I would ask, do you really know what you believe then, if you don't even know why you should believe it?
That's good. What you said before, and this is the reason I bring this up, is because you mentioned Islamic apologetics. When you were saying, just explaining how it suddenly clicked for you, apologetics clicked for you, it reminded me of Nabil Qureshi's testimony, may he rest in peace. when he finally realized how God can be three persons in one. Mm-hmm. And it was like I think it was like a chemistry class or like a physics class that he was in. And it clicked for him. And that was like, you know, his friend Dave was working on him for years and years. His friend Dave was the Christian apologist in his life. But the reason I thought of him also just now is because a lot of Muslim moms will raise their kids and train them in apologetics. So they are like, they come up that way. And I just see so much benefit in that, in raising our kids in that way, so that when they, even at a young age, are questioned, they can speak to their faith and why they have that hope. So with that said, shifting into why it's important for everybody, I want to just quote something that you said in your first podcast episode. This is literally episode one before you got into apologetics. So this is something you said: I want my why to be a way to inspire others out of a heart of love for God and the person who hears me speak. And this is titled, this episode was titled, Find Your Purpose in the Why, Not the What. So even before you got into apologetics, you were speaking the language. Yeah. And so my question is, how can this question, like, what is your why, right? How can it help us, guide us in engaging in proper theology, specifically if and when the girl listening wonders if she should even bother with apologetics?
Yeah. Well, I would say, first of all, the why always starts with me and what I'm trying to not push, but let's say teach and pass down to my kids, right? Why do I believe this? Why am I doing this? What's my motivation for it? And when you look at, you know, there's only four reasons for why anybody believes what they do in the first place. They either believe something because their mom told them, or their dad, or some other influential person in their lives, like a grandma, or for, it's a social reason, right? Everybody else believes it, so I should believe it too. So you're only going to believe something, or maybe because everybody else believes it, or that's what my family does. We're just all Christians. That's not a good reason, because as soon as a better belief comes along that makes you feel better, or whatever the case may be, sounds better, you're going to switch because you don't have an anchor. And then the other reason for a belief is because it could be emotional. It makes me feel good. I attach it to my identity, so I have to stick with this. There's a lot of, there's Pharisees in the Bible who said, the Bible tells us in the Gospels, that they believed Jesus was the Son of God, but because they love their status more and their positions in society, they would not say he was God. So you can believe something and hold to it, or you say you believe something because it makes you feel good or because you identify with it. It's not a good reason. And then another reason is because it could be a religious reason, like, oh, this is my favorite Bible verse, or my, you know, my rabbi told me this, or my pastor told me this. But the only good why, the only good reason for anything, is because there's evidence for it, is because it matches reality, because it is true, and because it's consistent. So if I want to convince my own kids, because it starts with our families first, I would do a disservice to my listeners, to my family, and to what God has called me to do if I don't put things in their proper order. And that is teaching my own kids first and giving them the why and telling them, this is why we believe in God. This is why, even when it's difficult to be a Christian, as the days get, you know, go by in America, it's going to become more and more difficult to stand up for what you believe in. I mean, God forbid you say a man is a man and a woman is a woman and leave it at that. It's not going to be left at that.
Yeah.
Because that's where we are in culture. So your very beliefs are being attacked from different angles. And is it worth it to say that I believe in God and to know the reasons for his existence? Yeah, if that matches reality. Yes, if that's true. Mm-hmm. And so the why always starts with us. If our why is not strong enough and convincing, and it's not for the right reasons, then nothing else matters. And that leads to motivation. If I know that this is the truth, then I'm going to teach it and pass it on to my kids. And I always say this too: do kids ask the what questions more, or do they ask the why questions more?
Yeah.
They always want to know why. And they're going to ask you the same questions that an atheist asks you. They're going to say, well, why would I want to believe the Bible? The Muslims believe in the Quran. What makes the Bible more true than the Quran?
Mm-hmm.
And actually, my friend from California, She told me about 3 weeks ago, her daughter, who's in the sixth grade, asked that very question. But mom, why do we believe the Bible's true? The Muslims think that the Quran's true. How do we know the difference?
Yeah.
We have to be ready. We have to know why. And so, yeah, everything that I say, like, I don't want to lead people astray either. And so in order to know what I'm talking about and be confident with it, my why better be strong enough and I better be convincing enough for my own family and then take that beyond the walls of my own home and share that with other people.
That is a full fact. I know that one of the things that I've learned through motherhood, I have two kids, one who is not really into the why questions just yet, but another who has always been. And, you know, we homeschool and we have a Bible curriculum. And when we work through the Bible, like we're working through it chronologically, a lot of the why questions come up asking about the motivation and how do we know? And, you know, kind of trying to find reasons to trust, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that in apologetics, not only do we help others to trust, but we also encourage our own faith by doing that. And as people who are like, we're always being marketed at, right? Like the world is trying to influence us to do all these different things. And if we're not solid in our foundation in God's word, if we don't know, like you said, the why behind the what, you will very easily become one of these unfortunate stories of deconstruction, even, you know, like where people just fall away from the faith and they become convinced of something else that was very well put together and it presented a better argument, you know?
Right.
So that's something I think we need to be cognizant of, especially because there is more and more just subtlety in the way that there is an attack on our faith, specifically the Christian faith. Cause I don't really, you know, I don't know this for sure. Cause I don't watch every channel. I don't watch TV actually at all, but I don't really see a lot of attacks on like the language that Muslims use. I don't see a lot of attacks on like even the Mormon church, like people leave them alone.
Mm-hmm.
So I just take notice of these things. I'm like, all right, we can anticipate that there's going to be some level of resistance that we're coming up against. And it's not going to be overt. Like they're not going to try to take us on in broad daylight. It's going to always be on the sneak.
Right. Right. No, you're exactly right. And the fastest growing religion right now is Islam. And so you wonder, oh, why is that? Why is the Quran? I mean, people even in the last couple of months since October 6th, when the Hamas attacked Israel, people have been on TikTok. Oh, I think I'm gonna convert to Islam now because look at their religion of peace. It's like, well, maybe you need to do your homework, you know? And so, yeah, it is. Why is Christianity the one being attacked? Why are these deconstruction stories coming out of Christianity specifically? Mormons a lot of times will say that they're Christian, so I don't know if that's included in those statistics, but I would say a lot of the reason for what Christianity is going through is because unfortunately, we've shown weakness in Christianity over the years for not being able to defend our faith. I was reading an article by Andrew Tate just 2 days ago where he said, I've converted to Islam. I honestly could care a hill of beans what Andrew Tate says about many things because he's Andrew Tate, but as far as his reasons, he said, Christianity is weak. They don't defend themselves. Now his idea of defense is a whole lot different than what we say in apologetics.
That's right.
He's more on the aggressive side, but he's saying Christians just don't stand up and say, no, that's wrong. No, we're not going to use preferred pronouns. No, we're not going to defy male and female. God has instituted this. This is the basics, the foundations of society. And so I see that, and I can't say that he's wrong in that. So I think Christianity is showing weakness because we haven't been able to give that intellectual defense of our faith and hang with the people in what we call the public square and say, this is why I'm throwing my hat into this ring, because Christianity can stand up to these ideas. They can stand up to the criticism. And so that's my assessment from what I've read and what I've seen, you know, just by watching and listening online.
So when you think about the woman who thinks that maybe like this is a really good idea, like getting just like knowing what you believe, why you believe it, fine. But I don't plan on engaging in debates, or I'm not confrontational. No one's really having these conversations with me. Do I still need to think about this? It seems like extra work, you know? Yeah. What would you say to our sister in the faith?
Yeah, well, I'm not a debater either. And I don't go down that road, and I don't actively seek out, you know, some people go to college campuses like Frank Turek. That's what he does. That's his ministry. My thing is, if you have a 5-year-old, an 8-year-old, a 10-year-old, if you have grandchildren, if you plan on having kids one day, if you plan on answering a question, why are you a Christian? Why should we believe in the Bible? Whatever it may be, you need apologetics, because I always told myself, I don't need apologetics. I didn't need apologetics. I believed in God without apologetics for a very long time, well into my 40s.
Yeah.
But over the years, it was, you know, people did question it and I didn't have good answers. Actually, one person in college said, "Why are you so sure you have the truth? Everybody thinks what they believe is true." Mm. And I thought, yeah, they're right. And I moved on. Yeah. I don't know. I believe in God, the end, you know, that was good enough for me. Yeah. But here's what I say too. Here's my best example. In 2020, me and my husband are on our way to Pismo Beach, California to celebrate our anniversary. And the lead singer from the band Hawk Nelson comes out and says he's deconstructed. He's a pastor's kid. He's in his 30s. He couldn't get past some of the most basic questions of Christianity. Like, why does God send people to hell if he's a loving God? Mm. And several other questions that I thought, that's dumb. You've been raised in church. You're a pastor's kid. You should know these. This is Christianity 101. Mm. Then me and my husband played this little game of, let's pretend we had to be the ones to convince him to stay. How would we answer those questions? And I failed at it. And I thought, if his decision to leave the church was dependent upon me, then he would have walked out the door, because I was not prepared. So yeah. It's not always about me. Actually, mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's not. Yeah. And it's not always about you. It's about that other person asking those questions. And we can't just be like, I don't know, God is real, and we walk away. Because mm-hmm. in that moment, you may not need apologetics, but they need you to know apologetics. Mm-hmm. And so that would be my best way. Yeah, people get intimidated by apologetics because it sounds so intellectual and deep diving. And really, like for me, I wrote baseline apologetics for the Christian who says, I just need to know the basics. I'm not going to go to college campuses. I'm not going to sit here and write curriculum. I'm not going to have a podcast. I just need to know some of the reasons for why I believe what I do. Good. Here you go. Because it melds the word of God with the world that God created with apologetics and puts those things together for a well-rounded Christian who can hang with a conversation, just a simple conversation. So that's, I firmly believe in knowing the basics. And if you want to get real deep on it, okay, go get a certificate. Go take a couple classes from online Christian courses. Mm-hmm. Go to college, whatever you want to do. But if you have the basics, then you have the foundation and you can go anywhere from there. Anywhere.
Yeah. At the conversation you had with John Ferrer recently, I'll link the conversation in the show notes, guys. But the conversation you had, it really echoes what you just said. It's not about you. And mm-hmm. so much of what culture today is ingraining in all of us is like, what's in it for me? Like, what am I going to get out of this? Even approaching your relationship with the Lord like that. Like, if I put my faith in God, what is he going to do for me? And you both spoke about that in that podcast episode, which was so important for me to be reminded of, because it's like one of those things that we know, but if you don't think about it too often, then you just forget about it. Yeah. So knowing that and just being reminded of that in this conversation, it's not about you. I think that is reason enough to at least consider familiarizing yourself with baseline apologetics. And when you say baseline apologetics, are you using a phrase or is that the title of something?
That's the title. That's the title. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So we'll definitely link that as well, just as a helpful resource for those of you who are interested. But I'm thinking about, for me, when I started to understand how my lived experience connected to this sect of theology, I was like, I'm all in. And I was looking at seminary, you know, years ago, and the Lord told me to pause. And so I did. And here I am now, like in an actual academic setting, pursuing understanding of this particular branch of theology. I am, except for you and the people online who I don't yet know personally, like I don't know a lot of people who are into apologetics. So we'll just say, like, for the sake of the conversation, like maybe unicorns in our spaces, right? We're like few and far between. The girls who are in between, who are like, how do I walk this out in everyday life? They're still, even though we want them to consider others and not what's in it for me, there is still an element of like, what is the thing that will help me apply this? So how can we encourage and just on a very practical level, equip the ladies listening to live this out once they do start to kind of like understand these concepts a little more, or just familiarize themselves with these conversation points?
Hopefully I can answer your question correctly. But one thing about the quote unquote unicorns in this space, what I'm hearing from people in apologetics is that the future of apologetics is female, and for specifically for the reason that women can get on a more relational level because we tend to be able to use our emotions a little bit better than men. Men are very intellectual, you know, they compartmentalize things and they're good for what they do. I think that we do need both men and women. And so when you see Hillary Morgan Ferrer with Mama Bear Apologetics, and she's telling everyday moms how to handle the things that are coming at us, I mean, practically speaking, on a daily basis, we have to learn to think through the things that we encounter, whether it be on social media, whether it be on, you know, politically, headline news, entertainment, everything that you watch is coming from a worldview. So you're being bombarded with having to be on high alert when you're consuming something from society or culture anyways, right? Mm-hmm. So practically speaking, we need it to think through the things that our minds are filtering, because whatever is filtered through the mind enters the heart. And that's what God tells us, to guard our heart. We are the ones responsible for that. So right off the bat, with the word of God and apologetics, we have the word that is guiding us, and we have good thinking skills to help us navigate how to process that information. So that's one thing. And then being able to say, okay, where do I go from here to practically put it into maybe my community? I talk about this a lot with women's ministries. If you go to a church, which every one of us, if Christians, we should be involved in our local church.
Yeah.
Go to a church and you go to a women's ministry, pay attention to what they teach. Pay attention to who the Bible studies are from. More than likely, the women's ministries are more feel good, emotional based. They don't get deep, because theology is for women too. Apologetics and good thinking is for women too. And a lot of times when these women are exposed to it, they wonder, where has this been and why aren't we doing this?
Yeah.
And so practically speaking, that might seem like, oh my gosh, I'm not the women's ministry leader. I don't know how I would do that. Don't worry about the how. Be ready. Prepare yourself. Be a student of the word. That's what discipleship is. It's a student of the word. And allow God to open those doors. And as you begin to have conversations, or they ask questions in your women's ministry, like if there's a Bible study going on and they ask questions and you give a somewhat intellectual answer or response to a question, they're going to be like, how do you know that? Mm-hmm. What are you learning? What are you studying? What books have you been reading? And that's going to open up a door for you to insert this into a practical setting that you're going to every week, where women actually need it. And so I feel like we have such a opportunity in the culture that we're in to not only influence our families, but to influence other women who are hungry for depth in their Bible studies and in their women's ministries, and they just don't know how to get it. Mm. And so I always think about, don't worry about my next steps of how do I get going with this? What doors are going to open? How do I use it? If you have it in your brain, trust me, it will come out. It will come out in your conversations and wherever God has put you within your sphere of influence.
That's right.
And then let God do the rest, because we don't need to knock down doors. God opens them. He closes them. Trust him for that. And that's one of the things I always tell the Lord, I don't know why, out of all the things in my life, I am confident that you are the one who brings opportunities my way. And I'm not going to go kick down doors. I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do that. I only want to do what you want me to do. So I'll patiently do my thing here and you'll do what you'll do the rest. And God has always been faithful to that. I'm confident he'll be faithful to do that with your listeners as well.
Amen. Amen. That requires a boldness of faith and a serious trusting of the Lord and his sovereignty and his timing. So I believe that that's a word for someone listening. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Any final words you want to share before we sign off?
I guess lastly, I would just say, don't be afraid of apologetics. You know, don't be afraid of the word apologetics. Just think of it as, I need to love God with my mind. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. how do I do that to where I can take what God pours into me and what I learn and share it with other people? And when we're excited about what we learn and we're excited about what we can share with other people, it's just naturally going to flow out. So just first steps first, dive in, find out why, look at why you believe what you do, and let God do the rest, and he will.
Amen. Shanda, where can everybody find you? And I'll have all the links, but just in case the auditory peeps want to hear from you, where can they connect?
On social media, I'm on Instagram, Facebook at Shanda Fulbright. And then I have a website, shandafulbright.com, where you can even get my podcast and blogs and things like that.
That's good. Well, thank you so much. I have loved our conversation, and I know that someone is going to be inspired to start digging into apologetics and just be ready to have those conversations, even if just with the friends that they have. So I appreciate you. And to those of you who are listening, we'll have all the links that I referenced, including links to those podcast episodes that I mentioned from Shanda's podcast, as well as Baseline Apologetics. We love y'all, and we'll see you on the next one. God bless.
Hey, sister girl, if you love today's episode, the best way you can show love and support is to leave a written review on Apple Podcasts. This helps other Christian women who want that same support and valuable content actually find the show. Oh, and if you're ready for more and you want to learn about free group Bible study, upcoming events, free courses, and other services, head to herrenewedstrength.com and subscribe to the weekly newsletter to become an insider. You'll get my weekly top 5, extra tips, and bonuses. I'll see you on the inside.